Hey, ¿qué pasa, Calixico? Welcome back to the podcast. Like always, before we begin, I want to thank a couple of people. First, I want to thank my friend here, Ernie Quintero at Mexica Brew, for allowing me to record today's episode here. I really appreciate it. I also want to thank my friends, Camilo, Jake, Eric Ortega, Eddie Lopez from Roots Creative, Mr. Macias Galindo, IE Director representing Division 5 and serving the entire Imperial Valley. I want to thank Will Torres from Valley Sports Network, your Imperial Valley source for sports. I want to thank Sergio's Tacos and Hot Dogs, 8 years of experience serving the Imperial, San Diego, and Yuma counties with Mexicali-style hot dogs and taquizas. Contact Sergio at 760-562-0057 or look for Sergio's Tacos and Hot Dogs on Facebook. I want to thank Eric Reyes from Los Amigos de la Comunidad, empowering communities together. Finally, I want to thank David Gastelum. If you're thinking of buying or selling a home in the Imperial San Diego counties, make sure you contact David. He's not only a realtor, but an investor with over 20 years of experience, and he'll teach you along the way in one of the most important investments of your life. Contact David at 760-235-9576. Today, we have a returning guest. The last time we spoke, we spoke about mainly you growing up, you know, like
kind of a background introduction and why I kind of have the ideology and philosophy that I have in life. So I think that's real important for people to know what people's backgrounds are. And I thank you for that opportunity. And I did have a lot of positive feedback. One, I like your show. A lot of people do are interested in it. And they felt a lot of the points I made were very positive. But like always, a lot of them won't come forward. So that's kind of why they want to hear and kind of do support me in their own way. Because I only state the obvious of things in our community that have needs. They say, oh, you have an agenda, Eric. Of course I do. And if you don't have an agenda when you speak and get involved, you really shouldn't be involved. Because you have to have an agenda. Hopefully it's a positive one. Mm. But we all have agendas. Yeah, everybody. Those who are elected. Even those who run for office, they all have different agendas. So thank you, though. That was a great opportunity for some people to learn more about me. People called me, and they gave feedback, so I appreciate the opportunity.
No, thank you. It was my pleasure. And, you know, when I had you on, I want to kind of point out, you know, some of the committees you're in, especially, you know, now with lithium, it's, becoming this huge thing in the Imperial Valley.
Right.
And obviously, you know, like, you're there at the table, you know, representing, you know, people with more needs that, you know, might be able to benefit from a project like this, making sure that they, you know, like I said, benefit from it, you know, make sure that the money and everything stays here. Can you tell us a little bit more about, you know, some of the committees that you feel you're in that are important for our more needed communities in them, though?
Yeah, it was mentioned by some other people of how many committees I'm on. And I said, if I don't get on some of these committees, that voice that I want to bring to the table for the underserved, those who are not aware, will be lost in those committees and that opportunity for the people. So I am on quite a few committees. I did redistricting for Imperial Valley College. I did redistricting for the County of Imperial now. You know, every 10 years they do. Why is that important? Who's going to represent you? What neighborhoods represent who? Which ones should be grouped together and which ones shouldn't? Mm. To make sure there's kind of an equitable opportunity for people to run, and then that people that do run will be held accountable to those people. Even though they're valley-wide issues, you also have to think about where you come from and who needs help, right? So I did those. Those were short-termers. Those are gone. I've been on the health and equity committee with the county, trying to make sure that we have access to health opportunities for county residents. We did a lot with the vaccine and testing. There was a huge gap in opportunities for people, the underserved farm workers in particular, and homeless people. So we had a great coalition of groups that came together, you know, the from Calexico IV Equity and Justice, and then Calexico Wellness with Blanca. And then we had, of course, Comité Cívico, the largest, what I would call the largest equity committee organization in Imperial County and the region, who are doing great stuff throughout the state and regionally, and then even some nationally. So they have a large history of working, and they we were all able to incorporate. And then nosotros, los amigos de la comunidad incorporated, we just got incorporated. So we're really proud of that. We're moving forward on that as well. And then our roots, and we had Ventanilla de Salud also from the El Consulado aquí de Mexico, mm-hmm. that's in Calexico. They were involved part in and out, and other, a lot of other partners. And we made sure that we made inroads to people that needed to be access to testing and access to vaccinations. And it was an equity index. And it's a huge part of California laws because we have a huge amount of Democrats, obviously, that are controlling the state legislature. And within that same group of Democrats that are controlling state legislature, we also have a huge that come from underserved communities now. Hmm. And they're bringing their life experience or their parents' life experience and their grandparents' life experience and trying to meet those needs. So it's called an equity index. Are you meeting the needs just of the people in general, but those who have been underserved historically? And I think our county is slow. Well, I say they are slow, and I've told them, they are slow to realize the changes that are happening. The powers that were before are no longer. And the county has to change and accept that they're at every step of the way. If you want more funding from the state, if you want more opportunities, you have to prove you have an equity index that you're truly not just doing, you know, reaching out, but you're reaching out in an effective and meaningful way. And if you're not, you're going to have to change to have those opportunities. So I'm also was one of the most important ones that I'm is for the Imperial Irrigation District. James Hanks, who is retiring at the end of this year, appointed me to represent, again, underserved. And it's the Energy Advisory Committee for the IID. And we, before it goes to the board, we're only advisory. They still can vote their own way, but we can make very important points as to far as electric rates and projects. And really important during the pandemic, this is somewhere where our coalition also came together, you know, unidos somos la fuerza, right? We have more people involved. I'm just one person on that committee, but I had the groups behind us when we had an issue. They were going to start. They allowed people not to pay their bill because of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. So people's bills mounted, right? It was a $12 million gap. So the IED said, we're going to start cutting people off. Well, I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. You told them they don't have to pay their bill if they couldn't. Now you're just going to cut them off on one day because you're behind on your collection? No, 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 you can't do that. And I was able to convince the committee to give us more time. So we, by one vote, I made my spiel for the ECAC committee, who are other members from Coachella Valley and Imperial County. By one vote, 8-7, I was able to convince the members to give us time to present a plan. Besides just starting to give them people a notice of 1 month to the next that you're going to be cut off. You imagine a whole year of not paying your bill. Some people are not going to be able to pay it.
Yeah.
Right? $12 million. Yeah, there's some people that could pay it and they took advantage of it. But there are a lot of people, as we know, that are always struggling paycheck to paycheck. That's who we want to represent. And we were able to put a plan together. Luis Flores from Mayor Equity and Justice and all the rest, we kind of brainstormed and we came up with a plan and we presented to ID and they adopted most of it. And the main thing was don't cut anybody off because you told them they couldn't pay the bill. Give them the option of a payment plan automatically. Don't ask them. You enroll them. And you say, you have so much time to pay this bill. And then after that, we're going to start. And, you know, and if you don't pay it, then you go through the normal process. But it gave everyone an opportunity to catch up on the bill. And that was one big victory. We did it as a coalition. We presented it and everybody called in and then they organized other people from a lot of younger folks from Calexico called in and sent in letters through organizing efforts. So that's kind of a collective organizing that we like to do. Being on the committees allow me to then go to our followers and our people who are like-minded and we can organize them and bring a voice forward. So that's really important. And currently we're in the lithium committees of the county as they're deciding how the community is going to benefit. We want industry to come, but we cannot be left out of the benefits as have traditionally happened. And within those groups, subgroups have to be supported as well. Underserved communities. So those are things we get involved with and we bring to the table at all times. Equity Index, an opportunity for local we want a local hire provision where they give first opportunity to people of the valley. How many times have good jobs come and we don't get them?
We want
an opportunity. So we need training ahead of time. We know it's coming. It's not going to be next year. It's down the road. So we need our community to be, one, aware of the jobs that are going to be coming. Two, the business opportunities, you know, beside businesses that supply to them. And three, be trained and prepared for the jobs that are coming. So how do we do that? We have the industry tell us what they are. We get together with our junior college, IVC, our college, San Diego State. We get together with our workforce training programs and we make them recruit locally and work hard to give our residents an opportunity. Too many people have a bad taste in their mouth already of past developments and say, I'm not going to get that job. Yeah. Well, they're going to come and then they're not going to give us the jobs. So we have a lot of negativity in Imperial County and it reflects in our voting as well. ¿Para qué voy a votar? Nadie va a cambiar.
Yeah.
Well, if you don't vote, for sure nothing's going to change, right? Yeah. I always said, well, tienes que votar para que haya cambio.
Yeah. I think that's we had an interview with Mario Conde. It was me, Daniela, and Luis Arviso. No, Luis Arviso. What's his first name?
Ismael.
Ismael.
Yeah.
Luis Arviso is one of my friends' custodian. And yeah,
Calexico needs change, right?
Yeah, Calexico needs change. And Daniela was from IB Equity
and Justice.
And yeah, like Mario asked me, "What do you think? What do you think is needed from this election?" Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know what, from like any other elections we've had in the past, it's more community involvement because, and that was one of the things I was going to ask you, like, you know, you go to these, you're in these committees representing these people, but when it comes time to voting and make sure like these laws or people that are going to represent them, like in the state, you know, when it comes down to them voting, sometimes, you know, they don't show up and you don't feel like, you know, you being in these committees and representing them when this happens, does it make you feel like, you know, it doesn't disappoint you that, you know, they're not going out and voting?
Or? No, you know, I've had that saying. I know a lot of people have been with me through the years and they kind of fall off and I keep going. And, you know, I'm 58 years old. I'm very proud that I'm still, you know, I go to people's houses still door to door. This past election, I went door to door. That's my strength. That's what I believe in because I want to make it personal for them. I say, well, thank goodness we do our outreach or even less people would go out. That's how we make it. I try to make it personal. Mm. So am I disappointed in the turnout? Always. It could be 90%. I would be disappointed. It's not 100%. But there's a saying, it is what it is. I don't like it. Mm-hmm. Well, it is what it is because those people are letting it be what it is. And I tell some candidates, when they lose, they say, well, I had a low voter turnout. I would have done better. I say, well, part of that is you. You didn't make it important for them to go out and vote. You didn't present yourself as a way that you are the what people are looking for to represent them. You know, we have to take responsibility as well. Mm. And I say, yeah, you know, you ask me, am I disappointed? Of course I'm disappointed. But do I give up? No. Will I stop? No. And I want others to take that mantle and bring it forward and tell us. I don't know what the key is because I've been at it so long. So obviously I try and I try different methods. I try to make myself relevant, but I don't know the key to keep people engaged constantly through the years. Okay. So one example, we have a great mentor who Cesar Guzman, as far as citizenship, he has made thousands of people citizens in Imperial County. And those first elections, he gets them to vote. I mean, that's one of his things. That's why he was elected for like 30 years also. Those people remember, and tienes que votar, you know. By the way, I'm also on there, right?
Yeah.
Which is good. And then those people, and they're really excited. People that became new citizens, voy a votar, primera vez. And even they start falling as the years go down.
Yeah.
That percentage goes down as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so right now, for this election, it seems like a lower than even normal turnout, even though it's a normally lower turnout. Governor's primaries, 25 to 30%, we seem to be below that at this point, and we won't know until the last ballots come in that are still in the mail that can get still arrived by the mail. But right now it's at like 21%. So yes, it's disappointing. At the same time, it's a challenge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because even in 2020, the presidential elections, you know, we had a huge spike, but we were still like one of the lowest in the state when it comes.
But it was tremendous turnout. I'm saying compared.
Yeah, but I mean, it's still low.
It's still, well, not low. I'm gonna disagree with you. It's not low. It's low when you compare to the state average. It's not. It wasn't that low. It was like 69% or 70%. That's a huge turnout for Imperial County. And I'm gonna tell you something about Imperial County. We have a lot of people that are on the voting rolls that are no longer here. Died. We have people. I have friends that sent me, hey, my mom got a ballot in the mail. She's been dead for 2-3 years, right? We have done a good job of vetting. I'm going to tell you, I go to Calexico, where I told you the story. Mm-hmm. And Calexico has the most transient community, you know, that are moving back and forth of any town in Imperial County. Raleigh has huge, but Calexico, much larger border.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are registered at someone's house, same people's house, 8, 12. We've seen up to 12. Whole bunch of different last names. And we ask, oh, ya no vive aquí. But they're still registered there. Oh, ya se cambió. You know, they live out of the county or they live somewhere else and they're still registered. And a lot of people don't change their registrations, yeah. Unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
So there has to be a better vetting problem. I know I spoke with Raul Oreño, who was doing voter reg, right, in voter registration in Calexico and other areas. And he talked about, yeah, we have to improve our voter registration system so we can re-register a lot of people in the places where they actually live. Mm-hmm. I had someone call me that they were still registered in Raleigh, but they live in El Centro now. And I said, well, you know, legally you're not supposed to vote. You're supposed to re-register. So he did re-register for where they're living now. But he still wanted to vote in Raleigh. I said, hey. You know, that's, and I know a lot of people that do that. Got a friend of mine who lives in Heber. I mean, is from Heber, still votes there. They don't live there.
Mm-hmm.
Those are realities. But the thing is, we have to get those who are no longer registered and get them off the rolls. But yeah, there's a lot of issues, and it's something we constantly work on, and we see improvement at times, and then it comes down at times.
Do you think it could be made easier, that, or is it just people that, I'll do it later and eventually it'll get,
yeah,
to
it. You know, obviously we lag behind Imperial County for a lot of reasons, but our number one issue is apathy. We just don't care as a community as much as we should. I've said it many times, they can get mad at me, but it's the honest truth. Mm. Why did that happen? I said, did you go to the meeting? We were there fighting. And were you there? Pues no, pues y los niños y que, you know, la abuela. Or, you know, they have all kinds of excuses. And they could be legitimate, but that's why.
Mm.
Things that are important, we need to be there. Recently, we had a equitable distribution plan by the IID. They were all in the daytime at once. So Los Amigos de la Comunidad, Isabel Solis as president, we sent in a letter to the IID. You need to make one for at least for working people as well. Dealing now, we're going to deal with water. Well, it's mainly for farmers. Like, it doesn't matter. The public needs to know.
Mm-hmm.
And we did have one. They scheduled one with Spanish translation. None of them had Spanish. The other ones had Spanish translations. They were, you know, so they're not meeting the needs of the community in a lot of ways. So we did have one, and it was fairly well attended, and we had people from Calexico, and they wanted one in Calexico. And we had advocated for one in Calexico, but one of the directors, too, Galindo and Gonzalez, you know, who has the majority of Calexico, you know, Gonzalez felt, you know, he even stated, well, it's for farmers, you know, and the people of Calexico don't understand it. Well, I don't think he can say the people of Calexico, you're saying they don't understand things, sure. And it's important for the whole community to be involved, and I know the ones that did go from IV, King Justice Dillon and all those people, and from Calexico and Exchange, they also advocated for one in Calexico. So we're going to make sure that we continue trying to have equitable outreach throughout the community, not just for one sector. Water impacts all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been following it for years. There's going to be some huge changes coming down the road that it could impact a whole lot of people.
In terms of water shortage?
Water shortage and then loss of jobs and our community. You know, we survive business-wise off of people from Mexicali. So, and those are our farm workers. They spend a lot of money in our community. If they lose jobs, our economy suffers as well. And then all the suppliers of ag businesses, they're going to lose those jobs and that revenue as well. And that money, for each dollar, rotates economically 7 times in an economy. So there's going to be a cutback. You know, so that's why we're hoping industries like lithium can make up that difference. But, you know, as one director said, famous, water is life. Water is not just life. Water is economic life, economic vibrancy, and continuance of our community.
Yeah. So we're trying to say that there's going to be like less farming going on, or what? Or?
If the plans right now, because the drought has caused Lake Mead, which is just a reservoir, and Lake Powell to fall below a dangerous point where they will not even be able to deliver water, which also creates electricity, hydroelectric power that the people in the Western grid need as well. It's getting to that point of so low, it won't be able to push the water through the dams and the reservoirs. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to save water behind somehow, build the elevation up of the water. We're at the point, if you look at the presentations they made, we're almost to that point where they can no longer, and it's going to, they don't even know if they could ever bring it back up to deliver water again, the pipes and the delivery system that they have, because they've never been at this point. So I foresee that they're going to cut back on water to build the levels up. Ag will make money because they use 97.8% of the water here in Imperial County and through other areas. So they will be paid probably to not farm, and that cuts jobs. We had that already with fallowing at the first part of the water transfer with San Diego County Water, but now we're doing what's called a conservation, water conservation. So we're farming again full, not letting land stay idle or fallowed. Which they were getting paid before, but that costs money. They have to be able to put in pipes and irrigation systems, so IED pays them. So we foresee that they're going to need so many acre feet of water, and they're going to start paying people not to farm, because that's where the biggest use of water is. And yeah, we have cities that overuse water. We know that. We have golf courses. Everyone's, what about the golf courses? Well, ag uses 97.8% of Imperial County IID's water. So where can the savings come? Major savings can only come from the ag industry, right? They want to get paid. Is it fair and equitable? I don't think so. Because we have had the short end of the community of the water transfer money. Right now it's $140 million, I believe. Ag gets one-third to conserve water. We understand that. And the community really receives very little community benefits. And that's something we've been advocating for a long time. Mm-hmm. I think we're getting some headway on there. Is just hard for Imperial County to change. IID, the county, and the mindset of people.
Yeah. Oh, well. So, yeah, it's kind of, yeah. And I think what people forget is that, you know, there was a while back where, like, there's a drought. And then kind of people forgot about it.
Right.
But we've, the drought never left, you know.
No, it's only gotten worse.
Yeah.
Well, become worse.
Mm-hmm.
And in the foreseeable future, they don't see any improvement. So the need is urgent now. I think they want to build elevation so we don't get to this point where we can no longer deliver water. Obviously, they don't want to get to that point. How do you do it? You got to pay someone. Right? And IID is going to be in charge of receiving those money here. I don't know about the other states. There's 7 states that share Colorado River water. And Imperial Irrigation District, as the first in, has the most senior rights, has the most water than anyone. So all those states are jealous, and the other water districts down the road in California are jealous of us. Coachella Valley and one of the most powerful organizations in the United States, Metropolitan Water, which controls water and power in Los Angeles. Very powerful politically. You're talking, one precinct in LA can have as many voters as all of Imperial County.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that.
Yeah.
So you imagine how many House of Representatives, congressmen they have in Congress, how the senators are going to be beholding to them instead of Imperial County. It's just very powerful, and they have a long history of flexing their political power to get what they want. Obviously, who are you going to compare Los Angeles to Imperial County? We love Imperial County, but politically powerful, we are not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's important. That's why it's important to, you know, the people that we do have representing us up there that are obviously looking out for, you know, doing their best to look out for us. También.
We have to hold them accountable. We have to vote. Mm-hmm. There we go again. We have to vote, right? And then we have to continue engagement. A lot of people, oh, well, ya voté para alguien. I already voted for someone. They're going to do the best for us. I go, do you know how they did on this issue? And as they go, no. Well, how are you going to know they're doing the best? And if you don't, I don't like that decision. Oh, you should tell them. No, pues ya está ahí. No, tell them so they know. A lot of people don't stay engaged. I have a saying, An informed community is engaged, and engaged community is informed. They both go together. Know what the issue is and participate. Mm-hmm. Is what my ultimate goal is for our community. We'd be that much stronger. And you know what? You can disagree. Discourse, I always tell people, because I get on a lot of committees, and a lot of times I'm the one that's starting the anti thing about the discussion. And I tell them, this is positive, because we want people to hear both sides or multiple sides. Mm-hmm. Also, you know, I'll argue with someone if I don't feel it's a correct thing they're saying. And that's what democracy is about. A back and forth, not one side always saying. And that's what Imperial County is used to. A certain power group always getting what they want. And we need to change that mentality. And we need to have them accept that we're our partner. I'm going to tell you what. We can not lose any water. We cannot have overruns where they use more water than what's allocated to us. And we have to present a united voice where the community, our government, and the ag industry and the residents and the industry are all together on presenting a united front against all these people that want our water.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that's possible?
Is it possible? Yeah. Has it happened to this point? No. And I go to these meetings and they get upset with me, some of the ag community, and these misconceptions. I agree. There are a lot of misconceptions, a lot of things I do not know. I would like to know. I'm trying to learn as best as I can. But also, I think they are refusing to see realities and look at our point of views as well. Whereas they're getting paid for conserving water, and that's what we need. If they want, but now they want the cities and industry to say, well, why shouldn't they get paid as well? I think that's equitable and fair, right?
Yeah. It's a no-brainer.
Right? For you and I. Uh-huh. For them, no. I don't know why. We're some, I'm going to say. I can't speak for them, but there's some who just want more and more and more from IID because they use 97.8% of the water. That's understandable. But if you want others to cut back, they should also be treated the same. And that's only fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's something that I kind of try. I try to play a devil's advocate when it comes to, you know, see both sides of every.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think the most of the consensus is that farmers are like the dark side, you know, farmers. But I mean, in reality, is every, you know, farmer in the valley, does every farmer in the valley have that mentality where it's like more for me?
I will say no. I will say the great majority are truly looking out for the best. But the point is they're businessmen at the end. And when there's distress, business people know there's also opportunity. Okay, they need more water. They use 97.8% of it. Where is the majority of the new water that we have to conserve going to come from? Cities can only produce so much. Mm. Industry can only produce so much. They only use 2.2% of the water. 97.8% is used by ag industries. Therefore, they have an opportunity to create more conserved water and be paid for it. Is that the dark side? No. There's others who, small group within there, who have always wanted more money from not just the transfer, but water itself. There are those who have challenged the IID that they hold the water in trust for the public. They want it to be a private resource that they could sell on the market, which they would make billions of dollars selling it. Currently, IID sells it in a long-term contract to San Diego County Water, part of it, 200,000 acres a year, acre feet a year, I'm sorry. And right now it's at 685. It started at 220, I believe, in 2005, and now we're at, and it's going to continue going up with the inflation index. Well, in other areas, they sell it for $2,000 an acre foot. So farmers are looking at that and saying, man, if we owned it, we could make our own deals like in other areas they have and make lots of money. Is that right? I don't think so. They've challenged it legally, and they've lost every single time. Even the Supreme Court has stated it is a public resource. I'll get an argument from Mike Morgan and his lawyers that that's not what they said. But I'm saying basically it still stayed a public resource held in trust by the IID for all consumers, not just the ag community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess everybody knows that the case, and yeah, I mean, like you said, they've lost every time, so
it continues to be held up that it is a public resource held in trust by the ID for everyone. The majority are the ag community, obviously, that use it, 97.8, but it's for everyone. And we have to conserve it because we want future growth. Right now, as we're stating, with the lithium development, which uses a lot of water through geothermal through to bring up what they're going to extract, when they're at full capacity in 10 years, more or less, from here to 10 years from now, of what they expect to be building and water they're using, we have no more water left for future industry to come in. What happens? We stay stagnant. We don't grow. And we don't grow, we don't have more jobs for people, we don't have more houses and residences, and we don't have more businesses open up, and we lose. Staying even means you're losing, because everything else costs more. Look, everything costs more today, right? Yeah. Imagine in 10 years. Yeah, so we're in a tough situation. Water is a vital issue to our community, but we need people more engaged and more informed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we attempt to do. And in fact, Los Amigos de Comunidad will probably start hosting some of our own separate forums and invite people who have an opportunity to ask questions, and we'll have people who have information, and we'll try to answer it on a holistic manner, not just ag farmer side IID only. There's a lot more to water issues than that. And it's geopolitical. We are first on the totem pole as far as how much water we have from the Colorado River. We are last on the totem pole politically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a dangerous situation.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And do you feel that the people that are getting more involved, is it, you know, younger generations? Or is it, do you feel like the older generation are still?
No, we're seeing a growth in the younger generation. We always wanted this because we had a brain drain where there weren't a whole lot of opportunities. So our best and our brightest, a lot of them would leave.
Mm.
Coachella went through this 25, 30 years ago. That's why you see the strength and power that a lot of those people that would leave the Coachella Valley are now coming back. They're not leaving, and they go to school and they get their education, and then they become active politically. You look at Manuel Perez. He was our first assemblyman from over there and went to Harvard. You see Riverside, Eduardo Rodriguez, you see Riverside. And you see all these others that are coming back, and they're making a huge difference. And they saw it through opportunities that had grown there because Coachella Valley was growing economically. So they were able to come back to have a family and grow within their region and then become active politically. And they've brought a lot of what they learned and what they see and needs in their community once they left. You see a lot more once you leave what other people have.
Yeah.
And that's very important.
Mm.
A lot of people who hear, they never left, therefore they never see what other places have, right? Oh, nada va a cambiar. We don't need that. I remember an old movie, a great line. He goes, and the guy wanted to help a community learn about its needs. He goes, hey, if we haven't learned it by now at our age, we probably don't need it. That's a great line, right? Yeah. We can always learn. I'm always looking for new opportunity. But we're hoping this younger generation, and we've seen it where they're coming back and they're active politically. Again, I stated it last time we spoke. I just wish they understood that all politics is local first. They tend to take on national issues where we have if you think we're politically isolated and weak in Imperial County regarding the state, can imagine how we are nationally? I'd like to see them also get more involved in the nitty-gritty parts and details and information of local politics and how important that is. Who can make bigger decisions? Your city councilman, your board of supervisors, your IID directors, and your assemblymen, where you do have, and your state senators. Those two, we do have, those areas, we do have a lot more power to make a difference in politically than, say, statewide or nationally.
Yeah.
Yeah. The governor doesn't even campaign in Imperial County.
No.
The vote is so significant here. We have people that put up their signs and stuff, but he doesn't dedicate any time.
Yeah,
to
yeah.
Them, right?
Yeah, because they're just somebody that votes for them, or kind of like a fan. Oh, I'm gonna put a
right
But yeah, in reality, yeah, you don't see, they don't come down here for.
Because our vote is so low, mm-hmm. such, you know, compared to the rest of the state. So, and that's reality we have to live in. But we are important. And we can, if we make enough noise locally, we can also then unite. That's a thing we haven't done. We haven't united for things together as a region, statewide and nationally. Then you can make a difference. So, like I said, yeah, we need more participation. Younger people also need to get out on more on the local issues as well. And I respect the fact that, you know, they see police brutality and they go that nationally. And, well, you know how you can make a change? Get on those city councils and have oversight committees as you want in other areas and be part of that change, right? But we have to look at this holistically, yeah. And it has to be start from the ground up, as always.
Yeah, and something that, you know, I've always heard, like, you know, your local politics are the ones that affect you the most. Yeah, I mean, something that's going to happen nationally, you can't really change it, especially in a community like ours. But, yeah, you know, city council.
No, it's great to know things that are happening nationally. Be involved. Vote your conscience. Vote on it. What I'm saying, but let's be realistic. Yeah, city council. Look, Board of Education. How our students are taught, where the resources are used. Calexico finally settled, right?
Mm-hmm.
How long? 5 years, I think?
I think, yeah, 5 years.
5 years. If you had elected people who really wanted to support them, they would have settled earlier,
right?
Sure.
But that's the thing, you know, you get these people elected and the funny thing is that, you know, sometimes they're your neighbors or your friends and you vote for them because they think they're going to, you know, And it's not like, oh, help me out, you know, because you're my friend, you know.
Right.
But it's, you know, what's right, you know, and in reality, you know, you see what happened in Calexico. And I think that's sometimes the reason why people don't vote, because you know, I voted for this guy and he's going to, you know, make a change, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, it's probably worse than right now, you know, I work for Calexico and I mean, the morale is like really low.
And you know it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you feel it and you see it.
Yeah.
So what does that do? That feeds other people who have negative thoughts. I've always said when negativity is like a snowball, it just rolls down the hill and grows. Being positive is much more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being positive is much, but we need those people that can be positive and stop that snowball from continuing up, you know, because that's why people don't vote. They feel negative about it. Well, ¿para qué? Votamos por ellos y no cambió nada. Yeah. Sigue igual.
O peor.
O peor, right. Now we go back to your interview, remember? With he's in jail, I believe, right now, right? He says, you know, I want to be the politician that people say he's different. He's not corrupt. And now he's in jail, right?
Yeah.
He made a mistake and he got caught, right? But that hurts people voting, because a lot of people wanted to believe he was going to be different, wanted to believe he was not like what they think other people in Calexico were. Unfortunately, didn't work out that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he seemed like a really good person when I talked to him. I wish him the best and hope he learns from this and comes back stronger, right?
Mm-hmm.
He has a long way to go still.
Yeah,
I know a lot of people have gone to jail and prison and they've come back and turned into positive residents and made positive change. So we have to think that way, not write people off. I'm going to tell you, one of my strengths and weaknesses is this. I never write anybody off. I have been mistreated, stabbed in the back, disrespected. But you know what? I never turn them away. If there's an opportunity that I can help, if there's something that is right, as you said, I've helped people. Oh, okay, you know, they did this, they did that. I go, it's the right thing to do sometimes, right? So I don't think the community should turn people away either when they make mistakes. We all make them. Mm-hmm. Look at yourself. I'm sure you've made some in your life, right?
Yeah, for sure.
I got too long a list to list right now.
Yeah. I mean, I mean, nobody's perfect. We've all.
Right.
And yeah, I think sometimes I think I could hold grudges, but overall, I think, you know, if you do me wrong, like, I won't talk to you, but I won't wish you bad, you know?
Right,
like,
we should never wish bad on anyone. Too many people here do wish bad.
Yeah.
Or make assumptions right away. Someone succeeding, ¿cómo lo hizo, right? Have you, what is he, who is he dealing with, or what?
It's our culture. It's typical in our culture. Like, you see somebody succeed, and it's like,
we should want to help them succeed and be happy for them.
Yeah. Congratulate people because they're doing good. But sometimes, we're like, oh, he's probably up to something.
Right. Yes. I will say something right now that we were hoping for, because Calexico had been really motivated in the last election, especially with the younger people, that vote was going to continue in Calexico. We haven't seen that yet. It's even below the rest of the county level, if you've seen the report. So they still got a lot to go to count. So hopefully that's an indicator, though, that they were excited for a while and they're not now. So will it come back in the general? I'm sure it will, to an extent, but we need them to stay engaged all the way through. So I don't know what happened here, right? And then you have city council and school boards in November in Calexico. So we know the vote will be up higher also because of governor, and then nationally because of abortion rules and so on. So we know people are going to be into it more. So the thing is, this is a time when it's really just as important, if not more, to make sure we get good candidates in there. Because there's a certain group that's always going to vote. And they have their agenda. Mm-hmm. So we have to be that group also. We're going to get our people in, have our agenda promoted as much as possible. And it starts, you know, right now. And right now, it sure is disappointing, as you told me. Do I give up? No. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say, I blame a lot of the candidates. They're not exciting and they're not offering something really positive for the people to really jump onto and want to go out and vote.
Yeah, especially like this. These elections are really, you know, they're important because it's IID.
Yeah.
The DA. You're getting a new DA after almost 30 years. You get a new DA. And county. I mean, county.
They're all vital positions. And they make crucial decisions. And we want people that are going to reflect what we think is right, or what we know is right, and our hearts, right?
Yeah.
One right for me can be somebody's wrong, and that's understandable. It's just as their rights can be wrong to me.
Yeah. And I think it's something that kind of, because in California, it's kind of easy to vote. You know, you get your ballot through the mail, you can just fill it out at home and mail it. I mean, how much easier do people want it? But
yeah, so simple. We see and they just don't do it. La desidia, como dice uno. We went even the day before. We didn't walk on election day, but the last day we walked was on a Monday. I cannot believe how many people still had their ballots with them.
You know what?
And they hadn't even filled them out. Ay, Dios mío. I was distressed about. Because we talked to them. ¿Ya lo tienen? Sí. ¿Lo has llenado? Oh, más tarde. Oh, that's kind of like, I'm not going to.
I think, you know, I'm one of those people. I'm going to be honest and admitted that I had my ballot and I voted. I filled it out Sunday night and dropped it off that night.
Yeah.
I mean, I voted, you know, but.
Yeah, yeah.
Pero sí, like, it's la decidia. Like, al rato lo hago, al rato lo hago.
Yeah. Sometimes they don't even know where the ballot is because they got it over a month ago. I don't know exactly where it's at. Oh, I said, you can go down and vote también.
Yeah. I put it somewhere where, like, it was visible. And once my wife, which was Sunday, my wife was bugging me about it. Like, you left those there, but where are you going to fill them out or what?
Right. So an example. Mm-hmm. So something happens where they're distracted, and which is real easy con la raza. Está en olvido. Right? They did not make it a priority.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that's apathy. And they complain when things impact them, yet they are not part of the solution. So we have to change the way we look at
things. Yeah, and I think that's one of the things I told Mario Conde when he interviewed me. He's like, besides, you know, we need the community involvement. And he asked me, how do we get more community involvement?
Yeah.
And I mean, I think the only way is to, you know, have a candidate that they believe in and that they vote for that candidate and that they see change, then they're going to be like, okay,
they're going to stay engaged. And,
but, you know, a lot of the times they vote for somebody that they believe in and then they screw them over. Right. And pa que voto si?
No, I agree. It hurts. It hurts democracy. It hurts voter turnout. And we've been through this. Like I said, I don't have the answer, but I'm not going to stop looking for it. Yeah.
Yep.
Then I'd be like everyone else, believing, what for? Yeah. No, I think it's important.
Yeah.
I know we made a difference in a couple of elections because they thought they were going to be blown out. The ones we did work on extensively and then supported one that is winning huge. And we know we helped make a small difference, right? But ultimately, it comes down to each individual. It doesn't matter how hard you work, how much money you spend on a campaign, how much you... you speak and talk to people one-on-one, it's ultimately up to that person to fill out that ballot or go down and vote.
Yeah.
And turn it in.
Yeah, because like you said, like if the candidate might not have made it interesting enough for the right. person to vote, but if they did and that person didn't vote, well, you know, it you know, beats the purpose of the candidate making it.
A person asks me, why are you on all these committees? None of that stuff's going to matter till like 10, 15 years. I go, exactly. All the things you've been complaining about right now, somebody was on there not voicing what should be done, and now we're suffering the consequences of it. Yeah. That's why I get on. You made the point for me. This is for our community down the road, right? In Calexico, I remember they did a lot of what we call redevelopment, where they turned the property into a tax zone. So the city got a bunch of money up front, but then they could not use the tax revenue afterwards for general funds. So you had restricted general funds, and you didn't have police, you didn't have fire. That's why they got into this position. These are 30-year bonds. For 30 years, you can't use. You got a lot of money up front for redeveloping. Look at down. A lot of it was used for First and Second Street.
Yeah, was it, or is it now?
Was it worth it? I know, you know. And there's the realities of areas. All downtowns throughout the United States are niche areas now. There's not going to be your centers of commerce. There isn't a lot of parking. There aren't a lot of large stores. So what do? They make developments out in the outer areas, and that's where your central commercials are, where Walmart is. Look at all the businesses around that area, right? Now the Grand Plaza, look at all the businesses that are there. Why? Parking, accessibility, all the things that make commerces go. Every city has it. Every town has it. It's a myth that you're going to revitalize downtown to the way it was in the old days when there was no competition. There's no parking. The buildings are really old. It's difficult to get people to go downtown anymore, right? Yeah. And start a new business and think it's going to really flourish, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, Eric, we're almost at an hour, and I know you're kind of busy today.
No, I hope I answer some of your questions, and I'm willing to come back a couple months. Give me a couple months. I'll keep sponsoring too. Los Amigos de la Comunidad Incorporated, we're a nonprofit supporting the community and the underserved, health access, economic opportunities, and we very gladly support this podcast that you're doing, and keep up the great work. And it'd be great if you got other nonprofits that are working on issues in the community to speak as well. I don't know. Have you had Ivy Equity and Justice on here?
Yeah. When they first started during the pandemic, talked to them.
It'd be great to bring them back. Yeah, they're doing a lot of great things. Comité Cívico, José Luis Vélez. You might want
to. I think that one time when I spoke to Ivy Equity, they had somebody from Comité Cívico.
A lot of great projects that they're going on that are in a driver's seat in a lot of way in our community for helping the underserved. And I think people need to hear more about those programs as well. And there's a whole lot of people doing a lot of good things out there. Elected officials, it was candidate season, so I understand that.
I kind of took a little break because, like I told you, I felt like I was campaigning as well, you know, doing all these.
I do want to make this announcement, though, that Medi-Cal in California, like, again, Democrats and Latino caucus scene coming from grassroots organizations themselves or being from underserved communities themselves or being underserved families themselves are making laws and changes that are going to be impacting our community. One that started May 1st, a lot of people don't realize that Medi-Cal has expanded. They call it the older registration program. So 50 and older for Medi-Cal and your documentation, your citizenship, does not matter. We'll be helping people access that and register for that because you want to have preventative care, not emergency care when it's too late. Mm-hmm. That costs us more when you have emergency care only. Yeah. And they've expanded also the Medi-Cal assets rules. You can have a lot more money. Before, people had to sign off their houses to their children, have less than $2,000 in the bank. So those are things and assets. They raised it significantly, so a lot more people are eligible for Medi-Cal, and hopefully we can get the collaboration of all the groups, the coalition we have, to work on that collectively and get as many people registered for Medi-Cal. That's a kind of a commercial. It's not, we don't make any money off of it. It's to help our community. Think about how small issues of health become huge because they don't have access to healthcare. Yeah. They don't have insurance. They can't pay for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like you said, preventative care is key. Yeah, and it's key to be, you know, healthier, and it's cost the state and the government less money to keep you healthy along the way than have an emergency.
Right. Mm. That's why they invested so much money in prenatal care for children, because there can be devastating any issues that children have because their immune system is not strong and so on. So it's all preventative. Each dollar you spend on preventative medicine is worth $100 later or more.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Eric. Well, thank you so much for the conversation.
Hasta lo vemos otra vez.
Yeah, for sure. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for listening or watching, and we'll see you guys in the next one. Peace.